This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar. Pretty much everyone I know struggles with their energy levels these days. But if you often find yourself flagging, the solution might be easier than you think. IQBar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious low-sugar brain and body fuel that you need to win your day. We got the ultimate sampler pack, and let me tell you, it disappeared in days, especially the IQ Mix Zero Sugar Drink Mix sachets. They hydrate you with electrolytes, improve your mood, and boost your mental clarity. All IQ Bar products are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit, like magnesium, lion's mane, and more. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the Ultimate Sampler Pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text redhanded to 64,000. Text redhanded to 64,000. That's redhanded to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
What's happening, fools? Welcome to our 2020 roundup. And don't worry, it's not depressing. What we've done is we've picked out all of the best bits of Under the Duvet, which is our after-show party that we host over on our Patreon page. We've gone through all of it, every single minute, and we've picked out some of the best bits for you so you can decide whether it's something you'd like a little bit more of.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome to the depression station, because it's happened.
Oh, yes.
The lockening is here. Thursday, we go back into lockdown.
All stops are the depression station.
The terminus is depression, as it always is.
The press conference on, when was it? Saturday night? That was something. I waited around from 4 o'clock. And then when did it happen? Like, I don't even know, like 8 p.m. or some nonsense. They were like, the time to act is now. So we're going to go into lockdown on Thursday, guys. So if anyone needs to get a haircut or you want to go see somebody, you want to squeeze in a quick shag, go do it now because we're going into lockdown on Thursday. I was like, what is this? This is so weird. I have actually booked a haircut.
Well, no shagging. We're still not allowed sleepovers. Well, I suppose you are in tier one.
I mean, I don't know. I think now it's like there's no more tears and then we're just all in lockdown.
No more tears, except still quite a lot of tears. The different kind.
Absolutely. No more tears except the ones falling profusely from your eyes. That's it. So yeah, it was something. I don't know. And then I watched like the Sunday interviews and they're all just like, just going out there and further confirming how much they're just like not revealing to us, slash how much they don't actually know what's going on. And I don't know. I just feel like, who knows when this is going to end now this year?
Oh, it's not. This is life now.
Yep, this is it. And then did you see Nigel Farage is rebranding the Brexit party as the anti-lockdown party?
I've literally written it in my notes. It's called Reform UK now.
What was it called before? Just the Brexit party?
The Brexit party, yeah. Completely imaginative.
Oh, fuck's sake. Fuck off, you absolute twat. And then there was that stuff that he was posting where it was like, there was that little video, but I couldn't bring myself to watch it. So I just read what, like the quotes that were written. And it was like, currently there is no political opposition to this lockdown business. So we're going to be doing it. And I was like, oh, fucking hell no, not you, anybody but you. And it's like the irony of him calling for like more freedom of movement.
He's just doing it to be fucking contrary.
Of course he is. He's such a dickhead. I mean, like, does he also realise that there is a no-deal Brexit that's currently happening as well? Got nothing to say about that? Former Brexit party? No? Just going to now focus on being Reform UK? Oh, my God.
He's just a contrarian. That's all it is. Like, he's just like, oh, well, I've got to find something else to share. Did you see he was sharing a platform with Trump? He flew to America and went on the campaign trail with Trump and called him, like, the bravest man in politics or something.
I saw. That was something. Yeah, I don't know. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, so much weird fucking news. Did you see that nurse, Lucy Letby?
Yep.
What the fuck? I like didn't ever know about this case. Basically, if you guys don't know, if you haven't been following this case, it's a 30-year-old nurse. So like the same age as us. Yes, I'm going to pretend I'm 30 and not 31. Called Lucy Letby, who worked at the Countess of Chester Hospital here in England. And she apparently was arrested in 2018. So 2 years ago. Then released on bail, then rearrested in 2019. And both those times it was like on suspicion of having killed at least 8 to 18 babies. And now, basically, she stood trial in November. So like 3 days ago from when we're recording this. So the 13th of November, I believe, was her trial. And it looks like she's been convicted of killing 5 baby boys and 3 baby girls, but possibly on the attempted murder of 10 more babies. That is unbelievable. I know this kind of thing happens, and I know this is a type of like serial killer that exists. And I know this sounds incredibly stupid and naive of me to say, but she looks so normal in all the pictures. She looks so normal.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of angel of death nurse thing is not reasonably common, but it's something that I've heard of before.
It's a thing. It's a thing, yeah.
Like if whether it's like babies or old people or just normal people, just putting them to sleep.
But fucking hell, like when you look at pictures of her that they're like posting on, you know, online, she's just out, hair done, makeup done, got a drink in her hand, out with her mates. She looks like any girl I went to school with. And you're like, fuck. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. And I don't know. I feel like I couldn't find more information than that. I can't seem to find information on like how she actually did it. But it seems like potentially she was working like with premature babies. So I don't know. The psychology of it is all very weird. Like, what is it usually that sometimes they think they're doing these kids or these old people a favor, but I feel like it's just about power, like it usually is, isn't it?
I have no idea, honestly. Like, empathizing with people killing, not empathizing, but like trying to figure out why people kill babies is like...
It's mad. It's beyond me on a Monday morning.
I just don't have the capacity, to be honest.
No, I would need a bigger deep dive into that psychology because I can't really wrap my head around it. It must be power over life and death, or maybe she can tell herself that these premature babies, they're going to have all sorts of problems. Obviously, that's not true. Like, they can be just fine. And like, there's no evidence at all that these kids weren't going to be fine. And she just decides to take that decision upon herself. Like, beyond that, I don't know. Crazy Lucy.
Yeah, I mean...
And I haven't actually made any notes on this, so it's one of my very vague stories again. They found a new organ in your mouth.
Yes! I did see this.
What
yeah,
the fuck?
Two new saliva glands just hanging out the back
know?
Of your nose. Nobody knew.
How'd they not know? Where are the face pathologists? What's happening? I don't know, man. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Would you like to hear something nice that the Catholic Church has done for once?
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say, but tell me about it, please.
So two things. So Pope Francis is like basically the chillest pope of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been like, fuck everyone. I think gay marriage is cool.
Exactly. Everyone can fuck everyone. Or is he saying it's only gay civil unions? What's he saying?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Maybe it was. But like for the first time, yeah. The Catholic Church have been like, same-sex relationships are okay in some way. Also, he appointed the first ever black American cardinal. That's the other good thing that he did.
Well, you know what, Pope Francis, welcome to fucking 2020. Thank you. Thank you for joining
bit,
the rest
bit
of us
late,
here.
But thank you. And also thank you for having that chat with God about COVID-19. It's really done wonders.
It's fixed everything. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's just like, it was just a really crackly line on the phone to God. Oh, murder hornets. Is that what you want? Okay, great. Okay, you've got it. You've got it, Frankie.
I'm sending a bunch of basketball size nets. Basketball size nests.
I also like, so London's in tier 2 at the moment, which means you can't go inside other side people's houses, but you can meet in a pub garden outside in a group of no more than 6. And we're all awaiting tier 3, which is
inevitable,
the lockening.
Mm-hmm.
And we all thought it would be half term, which is this week, but it hasn't happened. So I'm constantly looking for news sources of like any sort of indication of when it's going to happen. Nothing. Literally no news source at all is talking about the tier system anymore. They're going to sneak it on us.
They are. It's like everything logical we try to decipher and be like, I was convinced they were going to make half term 2 weeks like Scotland, Wales and Ireland have done. And then they were going to use that as a circuit breaker because that makes sense. And then they were like, nah, we're going to fucking M. Night Shyamalan this whole thing. And you don't know when it's going to come, and it's going to come and there's going to be a big twist and it's maybe going to feature murder hornets. So don't know what's going on with that either. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Should we end on a fun note?
Oh, please.
Which I thought this was quite fun. So people really enjoyed our little revelation about Andrew Lincoln slash Andrew, what's his name? Clutterbatch.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And how he had to, you know, change his name in order to break into America. Break in? To make it in? You know what I mean. And I was like, Hannah, you and I are right now, as of this moment, trying to figure out a way in which we make it in America. Maybe we need new American names a la Andrew Lincoln. What's yours?
Hannah Hamilton. I'm in. I've made it.
You're in. Get in. Get in here.
What's yours? You can't have Sarita.
No, no, no. I think I go with Susie, which is what people often used to mistake my name for when I worked, like, mainly speaking to people on the phone. And I'd be like, hi, it's Sarita. And they'd be like, hi, Susie. I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to let you have it because this is easier. So Susie, I don't know. I feel like it depends which crowd I'm playing to, you know. Maybe it's Susie QAnon. Mm. Maybe it's Susie Apple Pie. Susie Liberty.
It's got to be Susie QAnon. It's just got to be Susie QAnon.
It's a growing market. God. It's a growing market. Ugh. I'll cover that.
Oh, that's hysterical.
You take the Hamiltons. I'll take the QAnon.
Fantastic.
So I'm Susie QAnon and you're Hannah Hamilton. We're going to nail it, man. We're going to fucking nail it.
In their new show, Sweaty Knots.
In the Tower. A surprisingly British take for these two quintessentially American hosts. So anyway, join us then.
Oh, we need an accent coach.
We should get him to infiltrate this group.
What? The Malta abortion group?
Yeah. And just make jokes about abortions. I think it'll go down really well. Maybe with some comedy and some satire, we can change their minds.
He has offered several times to moderate the Facebook group.
No, I don't want to do that ever again. It's a fucking snake pit that scares me and I want to leave.
Yeah, Matt has offered several times to do, like, sarcastic takedowns of people in the Facebook group. And I thus far haven't let him do it. But sometimes you test me, guys. You really do.
Just let him off the leash, I reckon. Let him go for it. Just unfriend him so no one can trace him back to you.
Yeah, well, make him like a dummy account.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah, so that's going on in Poland. One of our Polish listeners, I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name, but I know you're listening because I know you're a Patreon because you messaged us on Patreon, telling us to take a look at it and to talk about it and raise awareness of what's going on. Mate, we stand behind you. Please don't be confused by my beginning stumbling over my words. I wasn't at all conflicted about how I feel about abortion. Conflicted about how to feel about hundreds of thousands of people in a pandemic, but it's only because I'm very scared of anybody coming near me. Had an anxiety dream last night that I was in a restaurant and the waitress was standing too close to me. That's what my dreams now are. Like, that's the level of mundane fear that I have. So yeah. And I thought that in a move that is obviously only stoking up the issues, the government is out there saying churches must be protected at all costs because some of the protesters have been graffitiing churches. That's what they're concerned about. Excellent. Cool. Though I read that it's farmers, miners and taxi drivers have joined the protesting women. What an interesting subset of people to have as your allies.
What a group.
I love that. I was like, this is amazing. And I read this quote and I was like, who said that? That's such a good quote. It's from a miners union leader who said, a state which assumes the role of ultimate arbiter of people's consciences is heading in the direction of a totalitarian state. And I was like, yes, minor union leader, I agree. And thank you for taking the time to join those women in the protests and maybe spray painting a church. Right. Should we talk about the US election? Because this is going out on Wednesday, the day after whatever happens, happens.
I saw a really fucking depressing tweet that was like, there is a really good chance that on Wednesday we could wake up to second national lockdown and Trump's second term. And no amount of banana bread is going to get us through that.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. That's so awful. Oh, my God. I can't.
When the Mayans predicted 2020, this is what they were fucking talking about. I hope you all know that. I hope you all know that this has been predicted.
By the Mayans. They fucking knew. I mean, they were all, you know, getting destroyed by the Spanish, but they were like, oh, but 2020, oof, fucking hell. Don't want to be around for that.
But did you know that, you know, in Futurama, they're like, intro to Futurama, there's always like a different message to the future people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of them says time travel to 2020 is strictly prohibited. They knew, Matt Groening knew as well. Everyone knew. Everyone fucking knew.
Everyone knew except us. sat around in that last fucking episode of 2019 being like, 2020,
that everybody still fucking tweets at us about. We know. God.
It's tough. But yeah, if you're listening to this, obviously on Wednesday/later, we're recording this on Monday, the 2nd of November. Yes. We don't know what's happening.
Not in Scotland. Nicola Sturgeon won't have it.
I will be absolutely flabbergasted if after all this is over, Scotland don't fucking make a run for it. Redo that independence vote and then they're fucking gone.
It's happening.
I don't know. It's tough right now. I've already put in my first click and collect order. All the pasta's gone. I'm like, fuck, who beat me to this already? I've learned nothing from first lockdown.
To be fair, it was probably the same people whinging about free school meals that just went straight to Tesco and bought every single bag of fucking pasta. Like, you can't have it both ways, everyone.
Yeah, no, that's what they want.
Just chill out.
That's what they want.
They didn't run out of pasta last time. It probably won't happen this time.
Exactly. They've also learned nothing from first lockdown. Did you watch Have I Got News For You last week? It was very funny.
No.
I've forgotten what that lady's name. She's like an Indian heritage Tory peer, which is just like, ugh. Anyway, Varanasi, something like that, her name. And she was on there and she's lost loads of weight recently. And she went on there and the first thing they say, they're like, oh, Dame or whatever the fuck her name is, Varanasi, puts down her weight loss to better portion control. A plan the Tories are now exercising on the poorest children in England. And I was like, burn.
Sick and accurate burn. Oh my God.
It was perfect. It was perfect. I love it.
I think it's because the last two we've been doing Car Chronicles or like, I can't remember what we did.
We did a lot of, we were very TV heavy.
Yes.
The last 2 weeks, because that's been this year, to be honest. Not to get TV heavy again, and this wasn't actually on my list of things to discuss, but I watched Rebecca.
Oh, did you?
On Netflix yesterday. It's a nice way to kill a Sunday afternoon, mm-hmm. but it's not going to blow your mind, and they completely changed the ending from the original. That's all I'll say about it. But, you know, while the roast is in the oven, if you want something to watch, watch Rebecca. It's fine. It's just fine. So that's all I have to say.
It's fine. Perfect.
That's all I have to say on the matter. Okay, have you seen the reintroduction of the elusive missing character from the year 2020, the murder hornets?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
They're back. No,
the plot hole is solved.
So basically, I saw this this morning that in Washington State, the officials have officially destroyed their first ever murder hornet nest. Isn't that fucking terrifying? I've seen the pictures. I can confirm, yes, it is terrifying. Basically, they found it in a tree, the nest, and apparently it was a basketball-sized nest, is how it's described, which in itself is horrific. And it's in a town called Blaine in Washington State. And the pictures of them, like, disposing of it is so scary because they're dressed in full head-to-toe, like, hazmat suits. It looks like a fucking outbreak. Or something. It's terrifying. And they basically, what they do is they destroy the nest, but they stuck like essentially a vacuum cleaner into it and into the tree to suck out all of the hornets. They apparently pulled out around 200 hornets out of this nest. And Hannah, they've got them up against a ruler. They're 2 inches long.
No. Oh. No, I refuse. No, thank you.
It's so scary. And apparently they're basically saying like it was a successful removal. We're going to cut down the tree, destroy the tree to make sure there are no like newborns in there. But I'm like, what are we celebrating? How could that possibly have been the only nest? That can't be the only nest. The forest is probably fucking riddled with them. What do we do? Where do we go from here? Is basically the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, us now dealing with murder hornets? Because that's not what I want at all. The opposite.
I honestly have no idea.
Where are the cuddly puppies that just come kiss you to death? Not the fucking murder hornets.
The murder hornets. Oh, for sake, God. Man. Obviously, because it's dark now and the clocks went back. I went to the pub yesterday, and usually on a Sunday night in London in winter, the pub is rammed. People have been in there watching football all day. Everyone's been drinking since 2:00. And then you have a roast dinner and then like get a little bit too drunk and then like toddle home. No one. There was like me, my housemates, and one other table. It was terrifying.
It is. It's like people are just over it. And by it, I mean like going outside.
Yeah. The outside world is over.
Oh, God. It's so fucking scary. I don't know. I feel like the whole thing just feels so dystopian. So obviously you'll have been seeing this whole week has just been the Tories trying to starve all the kids. They're just like, take the milk. Now we're going to take all your food as well. Starve the miners. Starve the miners. Mate,
I pissed myself so long when I saw that meme.
That's so funny.
For our international listeners, there is a footballer who is on the England squad called Marcus Rashford. He is a super duper mega babe and I would marry him tomorrow.
Love Marcus.
He's been running a campaign for free school dinners for children below the poverty line who can't afford them. Free school dinners have been a part of this country's, it's been around. It's not a new thing. It's kids of low-income backgrounds have had access to free school dinners for quite some years, but not anymore, because the Tories have decided that food is a privilege.
Yeah, basically what they're saying is just like during the Christmas holidays. So it's basically during the holidays is when they don't want to do it. So they didn't traditionally do this, granted. So school dinners, free school dinners was like when the kids are at school and they get their lunch given to them for free, paid for by the government because, you know, it's the right thing to do.
Because we're socialist pigs.
Absolutely. And what they're saying now is that over the summer, because of Marcus Rashford, he forced the government to basically continue giving kids free school meals while they were at home because so many parents had been laid off. There was economic turmoil. There's no money. So these kids were going to go hungry when they were at home. So they basically tried to force it again during the half-term holidays, which we're currently in. The Tories said absolutely no way. But now, due to mounting pressure, they're talking about a U-turn already for this Christmas. And I'm like, why are you humiliating yourselves like this?
They've U-turned on everything fucking else.
It's just humiliating. It's like you're having to have a football player point out what is the right thing to do morally and also what the fucking public want. Like, you've completely misread the public feeling, the public sentiment on this. And that being that the public in the UK don't want little kiddies to starve over Christmas during a fucking pandemic. And also, I'm saying UK, actually, Scotland, Wales and Ireland have already accepted this. They're already doing the free school meals over Christmas. It's just England. It's just the Tories here. It's just us.
Fuck's sake.
And what they were doing wasn't just giving their parents money. It was giving them food vouchers that they could go to the supermarket and use to buy food for their kids. And they said that these Tories who are opposing it said that it's because they had some anecdotal evidence that showed that a few people they had met or heard about had traded in their food vouchers to buy drugs, and that's why we shouldn't help anybody. What?
Oh my God!
Come again?
Oh.
I know. These are the same fucking income-hiding, tax-evading, money-grubbing fucking Panama Papers wankers who were like, no, we can't feed the kiddies because their parents might use that money to buy drugs, use those vouchers to buy drugs. Marcus Rashford and McDonald's are now feeding our kids over Christmas. Hooray!
Oh my fucking God.
It's outrageous.
And the real fucking irony of the whole thing is that every single MP in the Houses of Parliament has every single meal subsidised.
Yep.
By taxpayer money. So the adults, the wealthy adults who've all been to fucking Oxbridge and have hundreds of thousands of pounds salary a year, they can have their food for free, just not the children of low-income families. Great. Fantastic. Glad we cleared that up.
Excellent. That's exactly it. It just makes me feel sick. But watch this space. They're definitely going to have to U-turn on it because literally all being in government is, if you can just focus on two things, focus on these two things. Being kind of likable and supporting popular public opinion, right? And the popular public opinion is let the little kids starve over Christmas while their parents haven't got jobs. How about that? No.
Like, fucking, so how many focus groups do you need to do to come up with that? Like, literally talk to any single person that has a connection to the real world.
I don't understand.
Do you think that children in a country with, what are we, the seventh highest GDP in the world?
Possibly.
Something like that?
We're one of the richest countries in the world. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Do you think that the children should have sandwiches? Do you think that is something that should happen?
I'm going to have a focus group and then I'll come back to you on that. But yes, that's what I believe very fervently. Fuck off. I mean, it's just a shit show. Test, trace, track, whatever. That's not fucking going anywhere. We're about to enter some sort of no deal Brexit and eat chlorinated chicken for the rest of our lives. And the children are starving. So hooray. Anyway, should we talk about somebody else that's really horrible? Should we talk about Ghislaine Maxwell?
Oh.
Another horrible Brit who went off and did some horrible things.
Ghislaine. Can you imagine, like, meeting someone called Ghislaine and being like, yeah, you seem cool?
I'd be like, where am I? Have I come somewhere I'm being probably being racially profiled and shouldn't be?
I mean, probably, yes. Like, who let you in?
I know. Like, how have I wandered into this place? Who let me in?
I had a blissful few moments this morning where I had forgotten about Ghislaine Maxwell. But I read the, a New York Times article on her deposition. So basically, she's given her deposition. It's now, it's unsealed. We can read it. You can read the whole thing if you want to, but it is pretty boring. I would advise just reading the New York Times. She denies everything.
Oh, she denies everything. So this deposition is like 4 years old. So it happened in 2016. And Hannah's right. It is fucking long. I pulled it up and I thought, I'll have a read of this. Yeah, fucking right. It's 418 pages of deposition. And yeah, she basically just denies everything in it. And like I said, we will leave the link to the transcript below so you guys can read it if you want in full. Well, kind of in full, because actually, when you're reading it, the most frustrating thing that apart from Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, every single person's name is redacted. So you're like, what? Who are they even talking about?
Fuck's sake.
I'm guessing Prince Andrew.
Yeah, the sweaty nonce. Probably him.
Oh my God. And the one thing that is worth reading this transcript for, or at least reading, like, if you haven't, like, the summaries or the praises of it that are out there, because although the transcript is quite, like, heavily redacted, the transcripts do reveal that in 2015, Ghislaine Maxwell emailed Sweaty Nonce Prince Andrew the day after she sent out a press release.
SweatyNonce@gmail.com.
At BuckinghamPalace.com. Saying that, basically denying that she helped Epstein to traffic and abuse that lady, Virginia Giuffre. Obviously not a lady at the time, she was a child at the time. And in that email, Maxwell wrote to Andrew, she says, quote, have some info, call me when you have a moment. To which Sweaty Nonce Prince Andrew replied, quote, let me know when we can talk. Got some specific questions to ask about Virginia Roberts, because that was her name before she got married. And when asked about what she and Andrew were talking about in that email conversation that they fucking have when she's being questioned during this deposition, Ghislaine Maxwell just says, we're just talking about what a liar she is. The specific information I have and that he wants is just what a liar she is. Sure.
Yeah, right.
These people are sick. These people are fucking sick. And Prince Andrew needs to be in jail. Can we just put him in the tower? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, shall we? Should that be our 2021 campaign? Get the nonce in the tower.
Oh my God, let's start it. Hashtag get that nonce in the fucking tower. There's something. We can make some merch. We can go hang out outside Buckingham. Where does he live? Not Buckingham Palace. Somewhere else.
Sandringham, I think.
Woking? No. We'll go find him. We'll go find him.
He just manages the Pizza Express.
Oh my God.
He lives above it. He has to get a mortgage because it's above a restaurant, but you know, he's Prince Andrew. He can do what he wants.
He's Prince Andrew. Oh my God. And apparently, I don't know if you saw this, a couple of days ago, it was being reported that Prince Andrew was planning his return to public duties. And I was like, sorry, what? But the palace have since confirmed that unless he clears his name, this won't be happening. And I'm like, so you're accepting that his name is sweaty and dirty in all that fucking child rape he did?
You imagine have like, I don't know how much like eating together the royal family do.
This is true.
But can you imagine just sitting at the table?
Just at that Pizza Express.
Yeah. And the Queen's like, well, son, I hear you've been in trouble. Would you like to explain yourself?
Stop dropping that cutlery, you sweaty nonce. Oh, he's such a dick.
You're sticking to the corpse.
At 11:30 at night. I'm like, that is so far too late. So guess I'll just wake up and find out what happens the next day.
Yeah, I can't even watch the UK elections. Like this most recent one, as soon as Blythe Valley went Tory, I cried and went to bed. I was like,
yep,
fuck this.
Yep,
there's
yep.
No point.
Absolutely. The fucking blue wall of shit. Yeah, no thanks. Have you watched Unsolved Mysteries yet? I know I said I was going to watch it on my birthday, but I didn't.
No, I haven't.
I kind of started to, and then I didn't really get into it because I was just kept being distracted. So instead, I have a horror movie recommendation that I did watch. I watched a Russian horror movie, which I was pleasantly surprised by, called Sputnik. Bit on the nose. I thought they could have picked a better name. I felt like they were really running with their brand as Russians in that one. But it's called Sputnik. It's very like, if you like a good spacey sci-fi, like alien-y horror, it's good. It's very good. And strong female lead, which again, I was surprised by. Liked it. Very good. Recommend. Have you also seen the scientific list that everybody keeps fucking posting all over social media of what has now been decided and voted upon to be the scariest horror movies of all time that was released last week?
No.
Guess what came first? Number one spot in a scariest movies ever made. Number one.
Fahrenheit 11-9?
It's sinister.
What?
I know. I know. I even rewatched it this weekend.
Oh, come on.
I know. Guys, whoever the fuck was voting in this, whatever methodology they were using to compile this list, that is shocking. I rewatched Sinister this weekend after I saw that list just to be like, is it though? It's not. It's not. There's a fucking demon-faced man called Bagul in it. It's shit. It's not shit, but it's not the scariest. I was really appalled by that. Not impressed at all.
I think I get Sinister confused with Insidious.
Yeah, I mean, Insidious was up there. It was in the top five. I think the top five were like in whatever order, but definitely with Sinister number one. Sinister's the one with Ethan Hawke. So he like moves his family into a murder house so he can write a true crime book on the murders that happen there. And then like weird shit happens. And he finds the snuff films in the attic.
I mean, I'm sure I've seen it.
You probably have. That's how like unmemorable it is. And then Insidious is the other one with the little kid. And then it was Paranormal Activity, The Conjuring, and then something equally as fucking bait. And I was like, how are these the scariest movies of all time? This is embarrassing. Put this list away.
Which publication did this?
Oh, I can't remember. I think Rotten Tomatoes did one, and then this one was done by somebody else. But the Rotten Tomatoes one was also, I think they found the scariest movie of all time to be The Exorcist, which I can get on board with more than Sinister, because I felt like it had more cultural impact, even if it's not scary, scary anymore. But fucking Sinister, it's so like bait. I was really like shocked by that. No, not impressed. I think I would still say Martyrs is the scariest film I've ever seen.
It's up there for sure.
Yeah, it definitely stayed with me the longest, that's for sure. And then followed swiftly by Open Water.
As the weather gets warmer, the absolute last thing I want to be dealing with is uncomfortable underwear. Thankfully, I can rely on Honeylove to keep me cool, comfy, and supported. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all their products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them. Got a big party coming up? I know it's wedding season. Honeylove shapewear is designed to move with you, so you can say goodbye to that pesky shapewear we all know rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. My personal favorite is the Cloud Embrace bra, a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, light padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against the skin. No more sweating on the tube with a painful wire digging into your ribs. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/redhanded. That's honeylove.com/redhanded. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions, but I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US. From household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
Haven't been able to hang out this
not
year.
Sinister,
it
though.
Is
that's
like
sure.
Genuinely weird. The only time we're like hanging out where we're not talking just about the case with the script in front of us. So I think it's kept us very sane in all accounts. Speaking of sane, Speaking of completely insane, did you watch the presidential debate?
Honestly, mate, I watched fucking 10 minutes of it and I was like, I can't handle this shit. Like, if you don't already know, now you know.
Yeah. 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 If you don't know, now you fucking know. Like, mate, I did watch the whole thing. And I don't know why I did it to myself, because it was like making me want to break out in hives or something. It felt like being a plastic bag trapped in a fan.
That is such a good description.
That's how I felt. That's how my brain felt when I was watching it.
And like, obviously, fuck Trump for so many reasons, but how dare you speak about Joe Biden's son? How dare you?
He's so stupid as well. I mean, yes, the disgusting immorality of like making a point on a political stage about a man's son who has got like a substance abuse problem, but just the stupidity politically of it. I mean, is America, or is it not, currently going through a massive fucking opioid crisis that is predominantly impacting like middle class white families? Do you think it's gonna like endear those voters to you if you make fun of a man whose son has recovered from drug abuse? Like, you're so stupid.
But you'd be amazed though. There was someone on the Facebook group just the other day with my president this, my president that. Did you see that?
Oh my God, no. Thankfully. Fucking hell.
Yeah. No, there was a whole fucking thing about it.
The whole like he's got COVID thing today.
Maybe that'll finish him off. Maybe the whole pandemic has just been a very like elaborate plan to get rid of Trump in a non-martyrdom sense. Because if it kills him, the anti-mask people will have to shut up, won't they?
They will. I mean, he was on stage making fun of Biden for wearing a mask during a fucking pandemic. But anyway, like, why are we surprised? I'm not surprised. That was what was happening. Should we talk about another horrible man?
Ah, yes, please. Is it Chris Watts?
It is Chris Watts. So I am guessing pretty much everybody listening has watched the new Chris Watts documentary on Netflix. I like eagerly anticipated that documentary. Eagerly anticipated it. They were like, it's dropping on Wednesday. I was like, oh my God. And then I watched it. If you guys haven't seen it, it's called American Murder, The Family Next Door. What did you think? What were your thoughts?
I've written in my notes, Chris Watts - neighbor fetus. Because if you haven't seen it, here be spoilers. The neighbor, right, who's across the road, has his own like CCTV system. And like Chris Watts is in that he brings the police into this neighbor's house being like, oh, he has cameras, we can look. And this neighbor's playing the like footage of the street, whatever. Chris Watts then leaves. No sooner is his foot out the fucking door than this neighbor was like, it was him. He never moves stuff in the middle of the night. It was him. Like... And also, like, when Chris Watts is fucking standing there, they're playing the footage, somehow what happens on the TV is it's CCTV footage for 1 minute, and then it's, like, ultrasound footage of a fetus, and Chris Watts is like, oh, yeah, and she's pregnant. I was like, what? Was that, like, superimposed? Like, why is that the next clip?
It was really weird. So the thing is about the Chris Watts documentary and that bit in particular, because I did the research on the Chris Watts case like last year when we did it. So I had seen a lot of that footage already. Like I had watched it when we did the case.
Oh, right.
So I wasn't like necessarily surprised when the neighbor said, oh, it was him, because I already knew that. But the fetus thing I didn't clock at the time, but it's because I think he switches it off and then it goes on to like Fox News or some shit and they're talking about like fetuses. But yeah, that is just like such a perfect moment. And I didn't watch the interrogation. I couldn't remember having watched the interrogation in that much depth. And the way they just fucking like play him and how stupid he is, it's great to watch. It's great to watch. Like that FBI man, because there's a man and a woman, the FBI man, how he like corners Chris Watts, the way he sits with him.
And they touch him so much. Like, I wasn't expecting that. But it's like a man and a woman, and they do the polygraph. And the woman's like, I know you're being deceptive, so that's not an issue. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing where the fuck your kids are. But, like, then when he brings his dad in and confesses the whole fucking thing, like, they come in and they don't hug him, but they sort of, like, pat him on the shoulder and, like, give him a bit of a squeeze. And I was like, that is some skills. Like, it was incredible to watch.
I know, man. And they cut a bit out in that documentary that sort of links the bit between when the dad is talking to him and then when she comes in and like basically puts her arms around him. It's because the last thing the dad says to him after Chris Watts confesses to him, he says, okay, we'll get you a lawyer and let's see what they can do. And you know that the police are watching because the minute the dad says the word lawyer, they open the door and they come in. And that's when she puts her arms around him because she's just like, she's basically saying, no, we don't need a lawyer.
Yeah, we don't need one of those. We're here to help you. We're all you need, Chris. Don't worry about it.
Don't be silly. And God, all the time when they're just like, we know what it's like, man. She must have been nagging you all the time. It must have been so difficult. Like, I get it.
Yeah, and look at you. You're so fit now. Look what a big, strong man you are.
I know. Oh my God, you look great.
I would cheat if I was you. And also, I'd like obviously looked at pictures of the time, but I didn't see any like moving footage of Nicole. Is it Nicole, the girl he has an affair with?
Yes, Nicole Kessinger.
Jesus God, she looks like Shanann. Like they are the same fucking person. It's crazy. He's got a type.
Yeah. She's just Shanann 4 years ago. Like that's what it is. Like, and the, I don't know. And we don't even need to like comment too much on this because I'm sure everyone in our audience and us are agreed on this. But the horrific part of the documentary where they are talking, reading out Facebook posts that people have posted where they're blaming Shanann.
Like, fucking being annoying isn't a reason to be murdered.
Precisely. My God.
Like, fuck.
Being a type A personality doesn't mean you should be murdered for it, which is what she was. And also, the like most tragic and ironic thing about that whole situation is that I think Chris Watts getting to be like the fitness he was at, like after they got married, etc., was because Shanann pushed him. And so she like makes him be a better version of himself. And then he's like, oh, lol, now I can do better than you. I'm going to murder you. And our children. He's such a dickhead.
Do you know what was the most fucking unsettling thing about that whole film? In their wedding video, on their first dance, Chris Watts is chewing chewing gum. You vile beast. Like, the one time in your life. I imagine your wedding video and just like, meow, 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 meow. Like, no, take it out. Disgusting.
That's fucking red flag right there. He is a disgusting piece of shit, truly. Truly, truly, truly is. I cannot stand him. He just makes my stomach crawl. And apparently, up until recently, he's had a picture of Shanann and the kids in his fucking prison cell.
No.
Why? Why the fuck was that? I don't want to get all Nancy Grace. I don't want to get all yelly about, like, okay, fine.
No.
But still, why? He shouldn't be allowed to have that. That's despicable.
If you've killed someone, I don't think you should be allowed a picture of them in your cell.
No, I hate it.
No,
I don't think that should be allowed. I don't think they would like it. I don't think those people who were murdered would be okay with that. And I think that that shouldn't be allowed.
I don't think they would give their knowing consent considering they are dead because of you.
No, precisely. But no, I thought, like, all in all, I thought it was like a very well-made documentary, especially if you don't know the case at all. Because I watched it with my mum and she didn't know the case at all. And yeah, like, it was good. Do you know what is missing, though, these days for me when I watch a documentary like that? Is I kind of miss what now I'm used to watching with like YouTube videos or with podcasts where it's somebody just telling me their opinion about it at the same time.
That's true. Well, I don't want to make my own mind up. Fuck, tell me what I need to think.
And also nobody's telling me what they think about this. What am I supposed to think?
Someone will superimpose their opinion upon me so I can pass it on as my own and make a living out of it. Thanks.
Genuinely. Can you just tell me what's happening here? Because I'm lost. I'm lost. So no, I did think that. But no, I thought it was a well-made documentary. Well done. I didn't think I got that much more information out of it, but I thought it was a very concise telling of the entire case.
Mm. Yes, I agree. I think it was well-made. It wasn't too long. It was just bish, bash, bosh, straight to the point. So go and watch it. I mean, now it's thoroughly ruined, but you know, whatever. You'll get over it. Would you like an empty-handed update?
If you haven't listened to it because you're like a new person, yeah. And if you haven't listened to our episode on the Chris Watts case because like you're a new person or whatever, I was going to look up which number it was, but I failed to do so. So if you just go into your app, into your podcast player and search Red Handed Chris Watts, it'll come up. We did a very extensive case on it sometime last year. So go look for that. Yeah. Shall we have an episode of Empty Handed?
Let's. I've got a couple of updates.
Should we start by the fact that we got tagged on Instagram by Plenty of Fish yesterday?
Honestly, I text that in like the group house chat, like my housemates group chat. And they were like, Hannah, like, this is tragic. And I was like, I know. Or we could decide that we're just single women icons and just run with that.
Precisely. It's iconic. We're iconic. That's what it is. Red, empty-handed is now iconic. No. Yeah, so that happened. I'm sure it isn't a real reflection of how single we are, but we are still single. And I found an article, Hannah, that maybe is what has been missing in our dating lives. Okay, so this was recommended to me on Facebook by the good old Huffington Post, who writes some pretty shoddy writing sometimes, I'm going to say, unfortunately. But this one in particular really stood out. It's called 9 Questions to Ask on a First Date According to Divorce Lawyers. Are you ready?
Yep.
So I'm not going to name the divorce lawyers who've said it because each of them have like contributed their own question. But we're just going to go through it because, you know, I don't want to shame them too much. But some of these are fucking hilarious. Okay, so number one, the question is that you need to ask, Hannah, pay attention. When was the last time you talked to your siblings or your parents? Mm. And I was like, okay, fair enough. Would you like to know the reason why this person, why this divorce lawyer suggests that you ask that?
Yep.
This is like quotes, okay? I would find a way to ask your date about how close they are to their family. Divorces can be caused by one person being so close to their family that they prioritize them over their marriage.
Ooh.
And have poor boundaries. On the flip side, it gets better. On the flip side, bad family relationships can be a sign of a personality disorder.
Shit. Shit, run.
I was reading this and I was like, I cannot believe what I'm reading. I was like lolling out loud, laughing out loud, literally lolling. It was insane. Okay, it gets even better. So the next one is, ask them, do you believe in happily ever after? And I was like, all right, that's quite nice. It's like, you know,
I'd rather choke on my own vomit than say that sentence, but go on.
But obviously you would never ask that. But I was like, I would quite like to know that about a guy because I would think like the reason you're asking or trying to find that out is because you're like, is he romantic? Does he believe in monogamy? Does he believe in marriage? No, no, no. This person who said this says all relationships require work from both parties.
Ooh.
Someone who thinks happily ever after just happens is not going to be a great partner.
Savage.
Okay, question 3. Are you ready? Just 3 simple words. Are you married? This person said, seriously, ask this. Separated or married means not yet divorced. Your date should be divorced. This is literally word for word what this article said. Oh my God. Honestly, I just can't cope. Right, number 4.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love most about your job? I was like, okay, that's a nice question. So they're like, oh, you know, you should ask about their job to find out if they have a sense of pride in what they do. Are they passionate about it? Blah, blah, blah. You also want to know if they're not too married to their job so they don't like have any time to spend with you. Because, you know, that could be a red flag. I was like, okay, that's a fair enough question. I don't know how you're deciphering all that from them just like telling you about their job. The next one, particularly interesting. Where did you go on your last vacation?
Yeah, good question. Yeah.
Seemingly innocuous question, right? Good question.
Yeah.
Why would you ask that? I'd ask that to find out what type of like a holiday area is. Are we compatible? Yeah?
Yeah.
Seems reasonable. That's not why this divorce lawyer is asking you to find out. He's saying, or she's saying, what you really want to know when you ask this question is, how did you pay for your last vacation? But that's a hard question to ask outright. But by asking where they went, you can find out if that was an extravagant holiday without having to ask, wow, how did you pay for that? They said finding out if your date made a large purchase by saving over time or putting the trip on a credit card can be really useful information. It can lead you to information about how much debt your potential mate is in. I was like, how are we getting to all of that? What's happening? Okay, I'm on number 6. This gets better.
Okay.
The question is, do you know who Johnny Carson is? And they said, I don't know. And they said, basically, find a way to ask your date how old they are without asking them.
It tells you on Hinge how old they are.
And then question number 7 is perfect because the question is, do you consider yourself to be a good communicator? Because, you know, the best way to find out someone is a good communicator is to just ask them.
It's straight up asking them.
Just ask them. And then when they say yes, you can be like, oh, well, phew. Because I hear that one of the main reasons of a breakdown of a marriage is bad communication.
But, like, I think my theory is that everyone thinks they're funny, right? I've never met anyone who doesn't think they're funny. I think everyone thinks they are a good communicator. Obviously. Even if they are not.
Oh my God, mate. This article is so funny. The next one is just like, how did your last relationship end? And they say you should ask to see if they put any of the blame on themselves, which I think is actually quite like a sensible thing to see. If they just like call their ex a psycho bitch, it's probably not a good thing. I'd say run away.
Yeah, probably not a goer.
Not a goer. So the final question is, ask them, if you could go back in time, what's the one thing you would change about your life? And I was like, okay, and this is just so fucking patronizing. They say the answer to this can be a fun conversation and it can really reveal a lot. Ask each other what you'd have done differently. And if they say, I would live in a country far away from my mother, that's a bad sign. If they say, though, I would have gone to college on the East Coast because I never had the opportunity to live there, quote, that's probably not a bad sign. Oh my, mate, who wrote this shit? Can we? Oh,
that is hysterical.
Mate, what is your one question that you ask on a first date?
Are you going to hurt me? Because I've had enough.
I think that's fair. We should add that as number 10. Question number 10. Question yeah. number 10.
Are you a fucking
that's
dickhead?
That's so amazing.
Because that's what men do. They're all fine for the first 2 weeks. Surprise, I'm a dick. No.
It's hard. It's hard. Dating is hard. That's why these articles are being written, as if they're helping anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that helped you.
Well, there's that really famous New York Times article, isn't there? That's like, it's either 23 or 32 questions to like create intimacy. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I couldn't get through the whole article, but they're all like pretty, like,
what is your biggest regret?
Anyway. So as you can tell, dating has not been going particularly well for me recently. And I've got two empty-handed updates. Went on a second date with a guy. It didn't work out for reasons I'm too embarrassed to talk about. Moving on. 10 years ago, I came across this actor who is now, he's blue ticked. I'll just leave it at that because otherwise you'll all fucking duvet detective your way and I don't want you to harass him. Anyway, he is now blue ticked and was and please beep that. Anyway, he pops up. Like, we never really got together, but it was like this very like long thing, and I would bump in every 2 years. I bump into him at something, and we're all like, oh, you know, what if, like, blah blah blah. So it was coming up to the 2 year mark recently, and I was like, oh, I wonder what Beep is doing, because I haven't heard or seen from him. And then lo and behold, he comes up on my Hinge, and I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. This is the time. 2020 is finally the year I finally get to shag Beeping Beep. Anyway, so I sent him a message and I was like, you again, how's Trix? Messages me back being like, Trix are great, how are you? And then unmatches me within 10 minutes. I am done.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Unmatching someone is not a mistake. It is a process. It's not like a slip of a thumb.
Maybe he deleted his Hinge. I don't know. Who knows?
What, because he's going to be outside my window with
exactly.
a boombox?
Exactly, like, I found her. She's the one. I don't need this. I'm going to go fucking talk to her. I don't know. Oh, mate. I think it's all just there to test us, isn't it?
Honestly, like, I really hope that this is all happening because something is around the corner.
I think, you know, something is better than nothing.
To get under the duvet content, all you need to do is become a $5 and or up patron. $5 a month also gets you your episodes a day early and ad-free. And under the duvet as well, which comes out every week at exactly the same time as the regular show. And it's where we do most of our empty-handed updates. We'll see you there in the new year.